Yimachaloch. Mashra, I'm only selling you the rights to use the Paris. I'm not selling you the goof of the karka. As opposed to Mashra, when you have Yoivo, the Kenyan Paris is not a Kenyan Agufdomi. It's called the Nisma Shnei Tfuah. So I'm only selling you the years to use the Tfuah.
Like Rashi says, Almo ein goof hakarka mocher. You're not selling the goof of the karka. El Tfuah shall call Shana. You're only selling the produce of each year. Then the Gemara says, Mas Nisa, where is like the Brisa, that's like Rish Lakish? Tatani, we learned like this. Bechor Noitel Pishnayim. A Bechor, when it goes to Yashin, his father takes two portions. Besodo HaChazeres Lioviv. Be Yovel. A field that goes back to his father during Yovel. Which means the father sold the field. And then the father died. Then the Lachor is when it becomes Yovel. The Lekech, the one that bought the field, has to give it back. He has to give it back now to the Yorshim. So the Chiddush is that a Bechor gets two portions out of it. Even though by the Loch of a Bechor it's brought down, he doesn't get Bero, he only gets what the father really has, only what the father had like Bishas Demisa. From that property, the Bechor gets a Pishnayim. So the Pshat over here is that even though the father sold it, but he only sold like the Kenyan Paris Bizman HaYevel. The Kenyan Aguf, the father always had. In other words, we do not say the Lekeach that bought the field, his Kenyan Paris, is called the Kenyan Aguf dummy. But rather we say the Guf is always by the father. So therefore the Bechor has a right to get Pishnayim. Even though the kids first get it later after the father dies, Bishas Yevel, they first get the field. But it's considered all along as if the field never left the father's Rishus. Therefore, it's called like it was muchzik by the father. Therefore, the Bechor gets Pishnayim. Because if you learn like Rabbi Yechon, that the Kenyan Paris is the Kenyan Aguftami, so this Lekech, when he bought the field, it's by him. So the Yerush, the Bechor, would not get Pishnayim of this field. Because Bishas, the father died, the father did not have anything to do with that field. So it's a Raya to Rabbi Yechon, to Rish Lakish. Now the Gemara says, Omer Abaye, Abaye says, Naktin, and we hold that Baal Benichsa Yishtoi, the husband, when he has to take over any din Torah about his wife's property, about the Nichsa Melug, his Sarah Hashor, he has to get like permission from his wife. So Rashi says, Mishtoi, Yimbo Lodin, Yim Shumodim, the Gufa Karka, if anybody comes to complain about who owns the Gufa the Karka, if he goes to a din Torah, he has to have Hashor like a Rishus from his wife to have the din Torah. Because the Eleka Harsho, if he doesn't have Harsho, Motzi Yomla, the other person could say to the husband, Lav about the Ram Diyat, you're not the one to talk to. You're not my Baldover. Why? Again, the Kenyan Paris, Lav the Kenyan Agufi. Because that the husband has a Kenyan Paris, that's all he has in his wife's property, that's not called Kenyan Aguf. We don't look as if you own it. So therefore, you're not the Baldvorim. So if you want to have a dinner with that person, you have to have Harsho from your wife. But it says, only if the other person is not complaining about the peris of the field, he's complaining about the goof of the karka. But if the other person goes to complain about the peris also, then the husband could take care of it without the wife. Because me gudim mishtoi dina peri, since the husband has the right to the din Torah upon the peris. Because if it's a question who gets the peris, the husband has the right to have the peris. So therefore we say, is Mishtoi Dina Gufa, Yosef has the right to have the Din Torah ready upon the Gufa of the Karka. But if the other person is only complaining about the Gufa of the Karka, who owns it or not, then the husband cannot take the Din Torah. The other person has a right to tell him, Lav Bal Devarim D'Diyat, you only have a Kenyan Paris, that's not a Kenyan Agufta on me, I want to talk it over with your wife. So therefore, he only had the Din Torah if his wife gives him her Shor, like gives him permission, the Bailus of it, to have the Din Torah. All right, we'll stop here. All right, you're holding off Mem Chesem Abeis. The Mishnah says, Hanizokin, when you do damage to somebody else, so the locher is you have to pay for it. So, Shomer Lehem Beidius. If you have to pay, let's say, $100, you did $100 damage, so when the person comes to collect from your fields, you have to pay him back from the best of your fields. That's called Beidius. If you lend somebody money and you're coming to collect your money from him, so he has to pay you back from his fields, the middle class fields. If he pays back money is one thing, but if he doesn't have money, he comes to pay back with fields, he has to pay you back from Beninus, the middle type of fields that he has.
when a wife comes to collect the ksuba from her husband, on the Gemara to Shaila, one man the yom is only when the husband dies that she collects from the yisaimim, then the loch is zaburius. She could only collect from the worst of the karka, not the middle, not the best, but from the zaburius. Rabbi Meir says no. Al ksuba sisha bebeninus. When an isha comes to collect the ksuba, she also has the right to get from the middle class type of karka. Now, ein afroim nechosim mishabodim b'makom shiyesh nechosim b'nei chorin. B'nei chorin means the property that he has on hand. L'moshe, when you go to collect from this person, either he did damage to you, or else you lent him money, so the first thing is you have to take away the property that he has. You can't go and get the property that he sold already. That's called mishabodim. V'yafilu hein zaburius. Even though, let's say, you're a nizik, so really the matzik is supposed to pay you from idius, the best of his karkam, but he sold it before to somebody else. Now when you go to collect, you can't take that best property that was sold, but you have to go to Zaburius, the worst that he has on hand. Because as long as he has some property that he owns right now, that's called B'nei Chorin, you always have to collect from that first. You could only go to Mishabodim, the conquer the property that he already sold, if he doesn't have any property left right now. Another takonah is, Ein Nefroyim Nechosim Yisoyimim Elimin Zaburius. Whenever you go to collect money away from orphans, even in the case of a mazik, let's say the father did damage to you, and then the father died, so you're going to collect from the kids, even though from the father you could have collected from idius, the best of the property, but whenever you go to collect from yisaimim, the lochavish you could only get from minazaburius, the worst of his property. And all these things are tikkun olam, the rabbanon de kalochis. Ein moitzien l'achilas peris. Now whenever you have to go pay money for the fact that somebody ate peris, which Rashi explains in a case where somebody stole the karka, and then the gazlin sold it to somebody else. And this person that bought it, like worked on the fields, and the produce came, and then all the fruits were ready. And then they found the gazlin. So lochriz, they found it, they know who it was stolen. So the property has to go back to the nigzal. So the person loses all the achilas of the peris that he was supposed to have. So the gazlin has to pay him back for all the peris that it should have been eaten. So when you have to go pay back for the peris, then you cannot collect from mishabodim. And the same thing with the shvach kakois. If this person that bought the karka off the gazlin, he did not realize it was stolen goods. He bought the karka and he put a lot of work into the karka. Shvach, he fertilized it, he put a lot of work into it. And then the karka was taken away from him because we found that it was stolen. So the gazlin has to pay him back for the shvach that he put in. So when he collects for the shvach these things, he could only collect from B'nei Chorin property the gazlin has right now. But not from mishabodim, not from things that were already sold before. And as a tikkun olam, we'll see in the Gemara, because these things have no exact amount of money. Since there's no exact amount of money, you can't collect from mishabodim. And these things are mifnei tikkun olam. No, the shvach hakoyis, or the mazon isha, in the case when the husband dies, that his wife has a right to get mazon, she gets food, she gets the paycheck from the kids or from whoever takes over, the same thing. She cannot collect from mishabodim, only from B'nei Chorin. If the kids sell the property later, then she cannot collect anymore. Same thing by bonos. If you leave over daughters, when the father dies, the daughters also have a right to collect their panosah, their mizonos from the children, but only from B'nei Chorin, from property that they have right now. But that's the Mishnah says, V'ein moitzien minichsei mishabodim. But they cannot collect from the chosim mishabodim that was already sold already, and now you want to go and collect it back from the person that bought it. That you cannot do in all these last cases. Mifnei tikkun olam. This is a part of the Ulta Konis olam of our Mishnah, V'abona mei takonis, and the Gemara will explain each case what the takonis is. We'll see in the Gemara. Another case is, V'ha moitzien mitziya. If somebody finds a mitziya, lo yishovi, you don't have to swear to him. A case could be, let's say you found one watch, and the guy said, you know, I lost two watches. So if you found one of them, most probably you have the other one also, and you're holding it for yourself. So it's like a mighty mixas. I say, now you owe me two, and you say, no, here's only one. So maybe you should have to swear. So that's the Mishnah says, no, you do not have to swear. That's a takona. But they will start to make it, you're going to have to swear, people won't return what they find. So therefore, the metakona, you don't have to swear. So the Gemara says like this. Now we'll go through the whole Mishnah in the Gemara. The Gemara starts off with Nei Tikkun Olam. The first halacha of the Mishnah is Hanizokin, means if you do damage to somebody else, you're sure does damage to somebody else, So you have to pay him, let's say $100 worth of damage. When you pay him, he has the right to collect from your best property. That's called idius, your best property. And Rashi explains, a person would rather have $100 worth of better property than $100 worth of karka that's not so good. Even though value-wise, maybe right now it's worth the same, but a person would rather have collected from idius from the best. Even though you get a smaller amount, you're still only getting $100 worth. But it's better to get from idius. So by nizokim, when you did damage, you have to pay back from your best. And the Mishnah's mashma is only midrabbanan. It's called a tikkun olam. So Gemara asks why. Diraisa, it should be a chiyuv midiraisa. The pasuk says like this: Meitav sadeyu or meitav karmi yishalim. It says in the pasuk when you're sure your ox does damage to somebody else, you have to pay back from the best of your fields and the best of your vineyards. So it says clearly you have to pay back from the best. It's midiraisa, not midrabbanan. So Gemara sounds like this. Omer Rabbi Abaye says, "Leitzrich." You know what the Mishnah means? It's the Rabbanin. Elul Rabbi Yishmael. It's only going according to Rabbi Yishmael Shita. The Yomer that Rabbi Yishmael holds like this: Mid Yiraisim from the din of the Torah itself. Be the Nizik Shaimin. We'll soon see what that means. When your shor goes down to the friend and eats up his row of, let's say, corn, and you damaged him $100, so you have to pay him back $100. Rabbi Yishmael learns when the pasuk says you have to pay back from the best of the fields. It means b'denizik. The person that got damaged, how much fields does he have? The best value of his field, that's what you have to pay back. In other words, let's say the nizik, the one that got damaged, his best field is like class C of the mazik, the one that did the damage. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, you could pay him back from your class C, because your class C is like his class A. So when a Torah says you have to pay back from the best, it means the best of the nizik, the one that received the damage. That's the din midiraisa. Kamash Mulan, our mission now is telling us that nivnei tikkun olam shamina b'demazik, that ishim tikkun, the rabbanon said no, you have to pay back from your best, from the mazik, the one that did the damage, from his best type of property. We'll soon see. Now the Gemara says, my Rabbi Yishmael, where is this machlekes Rabbi Yishmael and Masusei and Rabbi Kiva? The Tanya will learn like this. The pasuk says, "Meitav sadeyu, meitav karmi yishalim." You have to pay back from the best of your fields. Now, "Meitav sadeyu shanizik" or "Meitav karmi shanizik," Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael says, when the pasuk says, "Meitav sadeyu," it means of the nizik, the one that received the damage. We have to look upon what type of property that he has. So, for Yemes, we don't care what you ate. How much damage you did, that we evaluate, how much value of damage did you do? Let's say it's $100 worth. Now the question is now, the Torah says if you have to pay back in karka, you have to pay back the best type of karka. Now of whose? There are two people involved. There's the person that got damaged, and the person that did the damage. So when the Torah says the best type of karka, does it mean the best type of the nizik, the one that received the damage? That's what Rabbi Shmuel says. And that's a kula, like we said before. Let's say the nizik is not so rich. His best property is like the mazik, the one that did the damages, C-class property. The mazik has A and B and C. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, the mazik only has to pay from his class C, because his class C is like the nizik's class A, so that's enough. Rabbi Kiva says no. Rabbi Kiva v'aymeh lo'ibor ha'kosav el oligvos le'nizokim in idius. Rabbi Kiva says no. The pasuk says that the nizokim collects from idius. In other words, he argues and holds that you go after the mazik's idius. If you did the damage, when you have to pay back the $100, he has the right to collect from your best fields that you own. And the Kiva holds the kal v'chaim el hegdish. And it's the kal v'chaim if you do damage to hegdish, when you have to pay back the hegdish, that's for sure also you're going to have to pay back the best of your fields. Now, the Gemara asks the question now. The Rabbi Yishmael, according to Rabbi Yishmael, the Gemara so far did not understand what Rabbi Yishmael meant. Rabbi Shmuel says, when the Torah says you have to pay back from the best fields, so Rabbi Shmuel says, b'denizik, you go after the best fields of the one that received the damage. But the Havamina is, Rabbi Shmuel, ochal shmeina mishalem shmeina. Let's say, according to Rabbi Shmuel, this person has three types of corn fields. And it's A, B, and C type of corn that's growing. There's a better type of corn, or less, and even a worse type of corn. So Havamina is like this. If your shor eats up one row of the better type of corn, you have to pay him back the price of the better type. Ochak chusha. Now let's say your shor goes down to Reuven's fields and eats one row from the less value of corn. Still, the Hava Minor is Meshalem Shemeno. That according to Rabbi Shmuel, he says, but the Nizik Shemina B'meitav means, no matter what type of corn you ate from his fields, you always have to pay him back the value of the better type of corn. That was Hava Minor. Like if your shor goes into Reuven's property and eats a row of corn, so even though he ate a row of the less value corn, still the Torah is telling you, you have to pay back according to a row of the better corn. That was the Hava Minor. That's called B'da Nizik Shaminin. We go both to the Nizik's best property. So this, the Gemara says, doesn't make any sense. Omer Avida Bar Avin, Hochav Mayaskinan. So the Gemara says, doesn't make sense. Why should that be? If you only damage his less value corn, should only have to pay how much damage you did. The damage there is only $50. So why do we make you pay the row of a good $100, even $200 worth of damage? Doesn't make any sense. So Gemara says, maybe it means like this, the Pasuk. Kagori the case is Sheochla Ruga Bein Arugas. Your shor went down to his fields and it ate up one row of corn. And we don't know which row of corn did he eat up. There are 10 rows of corn and different values. And he ate up one row. We don't know which one. For lo yadin and ikachu shochli shemenach. We don't know if he ate from a better one or from a less one. So here the Torah telling us from a doubt, minasofik, to mishalom lemimetiv. That you have to pay him back as if you ruined his better field, and you have to pay him back now the $100, even though maybe you only did $50 worth of damage. The Gemara says back, this also doesn't make any sense. Amar Rava, ilu yadin the kachush ochel, if we would know for sure he ate from the less value row, mishalom kachusha, so then you agree all he has to pay back is only $50, how much the less value was worth. So hashta now, the lo yadinu, we do not know whether he ate from the $50 or whether from the $100. Mishalim shmeina, you're telling me now from a doubt, he has to pay back $100, the value of the better field. Why? The klal always is, ha-moitzi mechaveri, all of araya. Anytime we have a doubt and we want you to pay, we always say, bring a proof. You want me to pay you? Prove it to me that I owe you the $100. Here, the nizik doesn't know. We don't know which field, which row you weighed up. So it's a suffix, a doubtful, which row of corn your animal laid up, of course you shouldn't have to pay more than the kusha. The less, Sagal the Torah tell me here, you have to pay the value of the more, it doesn't make any sense. Now the Gemara comes out to Maskona. So Elo, the Pshat in Rabbi Shmuel really is like this. Elo Amr Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. Hocha Balai Eskini.